AM790 KABC, Peter Tillman at 6 continues. Brought to you, of course, by Larry Miller and Sit and Sleep. He'll beat anyone's advertised price or your mattress is free. The phone number, 800-222-5222, if you want to be part of the conversation. And why wouldn't you? I got tickets to give away to Santana and the Doobie Brothers at the Hollywood Bowl or Music Strong Borderline Victims Benefit Concert with Jason Mraz, Pablo Cruz, Rita Wilson, and special guest Rick Springfield. Plus, I got the Peter Tilden Subaru Live stage. We're going to do the news quiz in just a little bit. But, you know, I've been railing against City Hall's giving developers passes with these density projects. And I thought maybe there's something I'm not seeing. But, you know, there's a new study that just came out to show that it is not helping us. And the middle class is just disappearing because of the gentrification and the way they're doing it in the city. On with us, Joel Kotkin, a presidential fellow in urban futures at Chapman University in Orange, California. Also executive director of the Houston-based Center for Opportunity Urbanism and author of The Human City, Urbanism for the Rest of Us. Hi, Joel. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
So I wanted to talk to you because of your pedigree about what I've seen happen in the city and what you have written about in the need for housing because so many people are moving here. Yet it seems like they have sacrificed any kind of planning, any kind of thought to help us here in Los Angeles. What they've done is they've given just a bonanza to all the speculative capital that's being plowed in. Hence, downtown, everything they're building is unbelievable, and I don't know how it's going to be sustainable for long. And yet, here in all of the suburbs, the sprawling suburbs, people can't afford it. People are moving further out. They want to get you out of your car, except there's no way to get you out of your car because then you can't get here. So it's almost like there's an insanity going on. And what happens is you see people going crazy right now in their cars, and they think the city's planning for them, but it doesn't look like they are.
Well, first of all, the first, you know, sort of thing that the city is saying, which is simply not true, is there aren't lots of people moving to L.A. L.A. has a very low population growth, you know, well below the California average, well below the national average. So this idea that there are people flocking in massive numbers to L.A. is just, it's just not true. I mean, there's something called the census, and you can track all that. Second thing is some of these buildings are really being built for people who don't live here, particularly all that stuff downtown. I can't imagine too many people who live in L.A. are going to want to spend a fortune to live in a tower surrounded by homeless people. I don't know. Somehow it doesn't strike me as something you would want to do. The economy of L.A. is, you know, pretty flat. You know, it's not terrible, but it's not great. We're not creating high wage jobs in any big way. So who's going to afford all these rents? And, of course, the other thing is that what made L.A. a great city, I lived in L.A. for 40 years. I now live in Orange County. I lived in L.A. for 40 years. The one great thing about L.A., one of the great things, was that you could live in a single-family house in a nice neighborhood and still be part of a great city.
Right.
They're gradually destroying that. One of the reasons we left, and I think we're not alone, is, A, the schools, because we have a 14-year-old, and at that time when we met, she was 10, and we get excellent public schools in Orange County, which saves us a lot of money. And the other thing is that the city was densifying, but densifying in such a way that that the traffic was just unbelievable. We lived in the Valley, and literally to get to Encino from Valley Village was taking us 20 minutes at least.
Right. Well, I get it.
No, we have traffic in Orange County, but I can drive from my house and around the city of Orange and get to Costa Mesa in 20 minutes.
Joel, for the certain times of the day from my house to the radio station, should it be about 12 miles, 11 miles? The other day it took over an hour and 15 minutes.
See, and the problem is this. The what you have is what you might call a combination of greed and wishful thinking. You have wishful thinking from the urbanists who've always wanted to turn L.A. into New York. That's been their goal. Now, I happen to have left New York, and I didn't really want to go back to New York. And if I wanted to be in New York, I'd go to New York. So what they've done, they said, oh, well, we'll make the city denser, and then everybody will get around by transit. And, well, the first thing is that L.A. is L.A. L.A. is a great city. It has a unique character. it is not a high-density city. It has pockets of high density, which is fine, but it's not a high-density city. Transit just doesn't work in contemporary L.A. because the city was developed after 1945 around the car, and, of course, most of the L.A. area was built after 45. And so what do we have? We spent $16, $18 billion on a transit system that carries less people than it did 30 years ago.
And losing more. Plus, what you point out is something I've been pointing out for a long time. As soon as they put in this transit system, for instance, the one in Culver City that goes to Santa Monica, and in Santa Monica there's no parking at one of the stations and limited parking in another station. But as soon as they put it in, the politicians can say, you know what, now that there's public transit here, we can waive any kind of environmental laws, any kind of height restrictions, and we can build up, which is what they're doing. But in all of those communities, and the ones going up in Culver City now, those rents are going to be so high that they're going to displace people who are there now who would take public transportation, and you're going to replace them with people who are going to be driving BMWs and Mercedes to work. So if they keep doing that, which is what they're doing, how much further can they go, and what's the city going to look like in another 5 years that this continues?
Well, one of the things that we did, and this is part of a study we did on gentrification nationally, and of course we're looking at other cities, but we did a big part of it on L.A. Basically what you're finding is there is not the population or the income growth to accommodate that kind of high density. Now, what you are going to get is, some foreign investment. You'll get some yuppies or hipsters who are going to be there for 3-4 years. But in the process, you're destroying the very essence of L.A., which is middle-class family neighborhoods. And by the way, this is not a racial issue in the slightest. Some of the greatest opposition to this kind of densification comes from the Crenshaw District and East L.A. How does it make the life of people in East L.A. better if some developer who thinks there's going to be a hipster infestation and raises the rents and the people who've been living there who are, basically the soul of the city, and we're just going to drive them out?
Well, and you point out that rents have increased about 25% between 2000 and 12, and 25% up while income has declined 9%. So what do we do, Joel? I've been talking about this for a long time, and it looks like it's increasing. There are because they took files out of City Hall, the FBI took files out of City Hall in Jose Huizar's offices in his home. It looks like something may smell down there as far as how they decide what builders to give permits to and allow building and how they figure out what they're going to give them as far as tax breaks. So where are we? If the city's changing this way, and the lie is that we're going to build the infrastructure to do this, we're going to have transportation that's going to accommodate you. So get out of your cars. We're going to keep building bike lanes. We're going to keep taking lanes away. We're going to keep forcing you to get out of your car, even though it's not New York, like you said, and there's no subway. What city's doing it well? Is Chicago doing it well? Is New York doing it well? Is Boston doing it well? Who should we look at? Or is there nobody to look at because nobody's as sprawling as we are?
Well, there's basically two types of cities in America, in very broad terms. One is what we call legacy cities, cities that developed before the Second World War, where transit makes sense, and they built out subway and train systems, Chicago, New York, Boston, Philadelphia to some extent, Washington, D.C., and to a lesser extent, San Francisco. These are very dense cities with downtowns that represent a large part of their workforce. Like, let's say Manhattan is about close to 20% of the workforce of the greater New York area. Downtown L.A. is about 2.5%. So, the transit works really well if everybody's going to the same place.
But let me stop you there. But if you know that, and I'm not that bright, and I didn't study transit, and I'm not an expert like you are, but if people see that, and even uneducated people who don't get it look around and go, maybe this isn't the way we should be doing. Why are we continuing to do this, and why don't our leaders and decision makers know that? Why are they keep going down this path?
Well, this is also the greed part of it. There's lots of money to be made. There's not as much money to be made in making our neighborhoods better. Again, the value proposition of Los Angeles was a quality of life in a big city that was unmatched, with great weather, with all sorts of attractions. When people dream of living in Los Angeles, they think about living in a nice neighborhood, in a single-family house. I mean, you know, I mean, yes, there are young people who may go through a few years of living in density, but at some point, if they're going to stay...
Yeah, you want a yard, you want to be able to throw a ball and have your dog catch. I get it. I totally get it. And we're driving people out of those neighborhoods now. And by the way, if you're living in one of those neighborhoods because of the density and because of the traffic, cars are now invading your neighborhoods in numbers like we've never seen and making them unsafe.
Well, look, I have found that our neighborhood in Valley Village, I lived there 15 years, the quality of life, the kind of people, what we were losing were really great, solid, middle-class people. And, you know, now we were getting people who were, you know, they were speculating, they were, you know, creating McMansions, they were chopping down the trees, and as you suggest, the traffic was beginning to become a problem. And the flip side of all these policies is the enormous homeless population. And even in the Valley, you now see large numbers of homeless, which you didn't see at all. You know, there was always one or two people who was, you know, on Ventura Boulevard.
No, we're displacing a lot of people.
A lot of people. And what's happening demographically is we're losing young families. You know, we also lose millennials, because I just saw the research from Brookings on that. We lose millennials, but what we're really losing is this, you know, 20, you know, maybe 35 to 44, 35 to 54 families. Those are the people who are leaving. I can tell you, you know, if you go to Texas, you go to Phoenix, you go to Las Vegas, you want to see where the Angelinos went? That's where they went.
No, I got it. I hear you. And by the way, this new report that just came out about the gentrification here shows that you list barely 1% of the city of Los Angeles is gentrified, mostly around downtown, and that's it. So my question to you is, how do you push back on this? What do we do, Joel? How do you let City Hall know, or are we just exiting? Do what you do. And neighborhood by neighborhood, people get frustrated and move to another city.
Look, I love LA. I wish I could come up with a strategy. The problem is our city politics are now completely controlled by public employee unions and developers. That's it. No, you know, part of the problem is we used to have, before term limits, people who were, you know, they're kind of wacky and independent, but, you know, Ernani Bernardi or Joel Wax or Marvin Browdy. But these were people, their life was being representing their district. They were there for years. They understood their districts. Now it's just, you know, Stepford legislators. They are there until they can run for the assembly. In other words, you don't have the same kind of city council person who might have been parochial. There's no question they were parochial. But they understood their own constituents. When people when Wendy Gruhl was running for mayor, she represented Granada Hills. But, you know, she was all sorts of money for downtown. Meanwhile, districts in L.A. have the roads are falling apart. The sewers are falling apart. But they don't really care because all the big money is in, you know, these projects. And one of the things that we see around the country and around the world, there's a lot of speculative capital, and given tax breaks, there's all sorts of reasons why somebody would invest in something. I mean, I look at those towers in downtown LA, and I just say, I cannot see where there's a market for that.
Well, it doesn't matter, but it doesn't matter right now. People want to get money out of their country. They want to invest. They want to get the break, and they do. And now the state, Gavin Newsom, the governor, wants to push to make decisions about the city, too. And how the city should grow, and they're getting pushback there, but they're trying. I mean, what's his name from used to be in Santa Monica? Wiener's pushed to be able to make decisions about the city and land use and transportation and conservation.
And what we have to remember, the L.A. area is the densest urban area in the continental United States. So it's not like we're not dense. You know, if you go to other parts of the country, it's just the nature of L.A. because of water, because of the way the city was developed, we're actually a very dense city already. That's why, And then, of course, you decide we're not going to fix the roads. We're not going to increase, you know, capacity on the freeways, or it takes forever to do it. And because fundamentally, it's this combination of this kind of dream world of the planners and academics and, you know, and pundits who have this vision of this incredibly dense Los Angeles, which is like sort of a New York with sunshine. And then you have all the economic interests, the people who want to get their money out of China, the people who want to get it, you know, who.
All right, so let's cut through all this, Joel. Where do I invest? Tell me where I invest next. You study the United States. Where do we put our money? Tell everybody if we got a, it sounds like it's a runaway. So where do you go next? Where's the best place?
Well, I think that there are lots of best places. And again, you know, I mean, I'm, you know, even though it's quite expensive in many ways, you know, I think Orange County, I think, is certainly a pretty nice place. If our economy holds up, maybe the Inland Empire. There are parts of L.A., but the problem is, unlike other cities that have developed strong downtowns, we have not. So there, you know, economically, see, like, you know, you can get away for some extent with density in downtown San Francisco because there are lots of jobs in San Francisco.
No, I hear. You know what's shocking, and we got to wrap up. I didn't realize that downtown represents, you said, 2.5%?
Yeah, there are different calculations, but we generally lose 2.5%, 3%. And, of course, many of those people are either working for the government or they're the service workers, because what kind of jobs have been created? I don't see a lot of big companies moving into downtown L.A.
Yeah, you're right. Well, Joel, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it. It's very frustrating looking at it and watching what's happening to the city. And I don't know how it's going to be reversed or how it's going to, you know, how we're going to build the transit that's necessary, which is shocking.
Well, there are all sorts of ways we could do transit. We could, you know, we could have dial-a-ride transit. We could have fast bus lanes. We could do BRTs. What we're doing is the stupidest possible thing that you could do, the most wasteful. And by the way, light rail has failed in virtually every Sun Belt city.
Great. Dallas. Well, thank you for that. And on that note, thanks. I really do appreciate you coming on because I don't think people realize the layout of the city, and they're watching it being gobbled up slowly. And you like to alert them to the fact of what's going on in the city and why and how. Joel is the Presidential Fellow in Urban Futures at Chapman University in Orange, California, Executive Director of the Houston-based Center for Opportunity Urbanism, and author of The Human City, Urbanism for the Rest of Us, like Festivus for the Rest of Us, Urbanism for the Rest of Us. It's Twitter at Joel Kotkin, KOTKIN, and the website joelkotkin.com. And thanks, Joel. I really appreciate the conversation. You take care. Talk Radio 790 KBC.